For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 218 of MSR Cast, your heavy metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I'm Kerry, the Metal Geek, along with
Sean, the Metal Pigeon.
We have a very special guest. We have Mr. Justin Corbett from the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
What's going on, guys?
You got to be funny tonight because of your other podcast, right?
I try.
You got to be on the spot, man.
I try to be funny all the time.
But. Justin's one of our good friends here on the show. He's been on Metal Geeks a lot, and he's a very knowledgeable metalhead. So we wanted to bring him on this episode and just jam some new music, really.
I've been on MSR Cast a couple times.
You have?
Yeah. It's always fun.
Don't lie.
No, it's always fun.
Don't okay. lie.
Don't lie.
Except that one time. That one time was not great, but it's usually pretty good.
Excuse me for my voice. I've been a little sick this past week, trying to get over it.
Yeah, it's going around.
The crud.
Get over it already.
My allergies are ridiculous.
Well, we got a toxic cloud.
I was about to say the toxic cloud here is not helping much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking heavy metal cover right there.
I mean, it looks like the cloud over Mordor. Like, honestly, like there's a lot of memes of people driving to work on their way to Mount Doom. But I mean, it is kind of accurate.
Well, Mount Doom. Houston is Mount Doom most of the time anyways. Fucking hot.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Let's talk about metal. What do we hear first? Brimir.
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 Yeah.
It was the premier Bremer. So I just discovered these guys recently. The album that it just came out this past month, I think, Wings of Fire. Now, these guys, I think Justin said it the best earlier. They're happy black metal.
Yeah, happy black metal. Seems accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like power metal infused black metal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Taking it to a level there where Demon Wargear has never sort of reached. They're going for it, but they never quite made it there.
Yeah.
With their keyboards.
Yeah.
And the just, but man, these guys are just, it's like mixing Stradivarius with like a black metal band.
Yeah. Cause instead of like big, orchestral bombast, it's more like neoclassical and focused and more razor sharp rather than epic and, you know, big paintbrush strokes, that kind of thing.
I think this is actually their third album.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, I've been going back and listening to their whole catalog, and they've been pretty consistently good all the way from the beginning. So
these guys from Finland,
I think so.
Let's just go. Let's just
Finnish symphonic power folk metal band.
Okay, yeah.
How can they not be from Finland?
Yeah, well, although you know, because their sound also reminds me of like a lot of Japanese power metal.
Yeah, I could hear that.
Like just wild, like solos that just careen off into the distance and stuff. That's like a.
Who likes,
you know, like Garnus and bands like that, like Japanese bands that just are like
avant-garde to be avant-garde.
No, like they're catchy, but they just are unafraid of just being wildly neoclassical, progressive, in just various directions and stuff. Unexpected.
This definitely does some unexpected things, this album.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good. It's fantastic. I can't say one bad thing about it. Every song is really fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun black metal, which you don't hear very often.
They're also known as Lele High. They were formed in the summer of 2006 during a music summer camp under the name Lele High, named out of the Insepharum track of the same name after the win of a camp competition covering the Insepharum track Token of Time. Oh. The band quickly became more serious and started to compose their own music under the name Bremer.
I love Token of Time. That's a classic.
It is a great song.
So these guys were born as a Insepharum cover band.
Good choice on the name change.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Lele High is kind of hard to take serious.
So yeah, the new album, Wings of Fire, 2019. They had an album 2016 called Slayer of Gods, and then 2011 with Breathe Fire to the Sun.
Good titles.
Very good. I really like these guys.
No one we know from other bands, right? Just like relative unknowns.
I don't know. I'm looking at the wiki, and it does say Associated Acts is Battle Beast. So,
yeah.
I'm going to look up a Metallum and,
I think, you know, the thing with the Finnish black metal thing is like, there's not, it's like, it's either Finnish power metal or Finnish melodeath. So whenever you do get that kind of crossover into black metal, every band kind of sounds like a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like it's not like you can say like Insomnium Gatherum or Insomnium and Omnium Gatherum sound sometimes like they overlap a little bit.
They do.
Finnish black metal is always just like a little bit weird and a little bit off kilter. That's why it's like, you know, it's like rare to get it and rare for it to be like something that stands out. But when it does, it's
really good.
It makes an impact, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like Norwegian black metal. I mean, like right now I can think of like...
Okay, so...
The Abbath album that's coming out in May, you know, is like the big one right now.
I'm learning something here right now. So the guitar player for Bremer is a guy named Juna Bjorkross, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's also the guitar player in Battle Beast.
Okay.
It's all starting to make sense now.
Yeah. No, that does make sense, yeah.
It really does.
You got to get your heavy side out somewhere.
Yeah.
The freaking Battle Beast is starting to sound like Roxette now.
You know? It's super fucking 80s.
I like it. I've only heard the new album once. I do like it, but it's just like...
I really like the last album we discovered from 2017.
Yeah.
This one, it was just like, I don't know if I can handle it.
They got the vocalist for it. She's good.
Yeah.
At doing that kind of thing. It's just like, if you're the guitarist in that band, you probably need another outlet, you know? Of like, meh.
Yeah, something heavy. Probably so.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another sort of folk pagan metal band from the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
Brand new album called Hell from Tyr.
Yeah, this is their first album in like 6 years.
Has it been that long?
2013 was the last one. And if you ask me...
That's sad when you say 6 years ago was 2013. I'm like, oh, this seems like yesterday.
Well, if you ask me, it's been 10 years since their last good album.
Oh.
Because what was the one in... I forgot the one in 2011, but the 2013 one was Valkyra.
Yeah.
Which is like, I kind of thought that album was a dud, except for like the... I like the song they did with Liv Christine on that one. But the last album I really, really enjoyed by them was By the Light of the Northern Star. That was 2009.
That's a fucking great album.
That was a great record. Mm-hmm. And this one kind of is like the best thing they've done since then. Some of the songs on here, like the one that we're going to play, Garmir, is like, that's like the best song I've heard them do since, you know, Hold the Heathen Hammer High or something like that. And
it's a lot of that this year, though. A lot of bands that like were in their prime in like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Coming back strong.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, at some point it's got to happen, you know?
Yeah, or they'll just break up, you know, one of the two.
Yeah. And when I
saw completely fucking change and become a shell of what they used to be.
Yeah.
In flames.
Yeah.
you still sick there, man?
A little bit.
You're right.
I saw Tyr last year and they did like a little tour.
They did.
They did the greatest hits set, basically. And
I saw them a couple years before that was Death Angel.
Yeah. They've been touring this entire time. It made me wonder, like, why haven't they released a new album in a while? And I think he honestly just kind of ran out of shit to say. And it took him a long time to like do something like this, you know, of like think of a new concept, think of something different. Cause cause the one thing I noticed about that Tyr show was like, man, this is fun, but like all these songs kind of sound the same.
Mm-hmm. They do
and
sometimes.
The thing I like about this album is that he's injecting different, like little changes. Not major things, but he's injecting some thrash in there, some like death metal vocals, like extreme vocals. Yep. And maybe
it's enough to change it up and keep you on your toes a little bit and not make it samey.
Right. And there's some parts where it's like really up tempo, kind of thrashy, and you're like, oh, this is cool. I like the variety in it. My major criticism of this album is he probably went like four songs too long.
It is a long album.
It's a long album. Yeah. If he cut it down to like a 50-minute record, it would have been perfect, I think.
But a lot of albums that come out are short.
Well, I get...
You got to have that sort of medium
I sympathize
area, you know?
With him because he's kind of like, well, it's been, you know, 6 years. We need to give fans like at least 12 or 13 songs.
But I mean, that's the difference between a good album and a great album.
Exactly, yeah. And that matters too. So a great album has more enthusiasm behind it when people are talking about it, where it's like, oh, like that's a really great album.
You're seven
like
amazing songs is better than 11 where seven are great and four are kind of shitty.
Yeah, where you can go to your friend and be like, every fucking song on this record is great.
Yeah.
And then, or you have to qualify and be like, you know, most of it's really good. Actually, there's some kind of like,
eh. Around the middle, it's sort of eh.
That's what ends up keeping an album off a top 10 list at the end of the year.
It matters, yeah. So, I mean, I was happy listening to it. That song, there's a song in the middle of the album. It's about like something drunk or whatever, or
downhill drunk.
Downhill drunk.
I'm looking at the album right now. Yeah,
like that song.
I do have to give them some credit for releasing the album as a digipack, because we've had this conversation on the show. I will not purchase something that's just in a regular CD case anymore.
Well, and that's my like tied with Swallow the Sun for my favorite artwork of the year. I mean, that's a beautiful image, you know.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's a great
go hard in either direction. Like the thing is, I'm looking at Carrie has the Avantasia digipack here. It's cool, but it's too much kind of bleh. It's like not committed in either one direction.
It's sort of like we're not really talking about Avantasia right now, but it sort of looks like a young adult cover. Like a young adult book cover, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. It looks like Chronicles of Narnia or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
The colors and everything, you would just see it.
It kind of works for, I guess, the way he was going for, but it's just artwork, like eye-catching artwork. You're kind of like...
It's too, like...
Amorphous?
Yeah.
Not amorphous, the band, but amorphous
imagery.
It's lacking
like
form
or shape. The Tyr album cover has, like, a clearly defined image, like... You kind of get the sense of what the album's going to be like before you even listen to it. The Swallow the Sun album really emphasizes like empty space
and bleakness
and bleakness
and evilness.
Yeah. So you get what the album's going to be about from the cover, but the Avantasia album, I mean, there's like a skull, there's a moon, there's some red shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool, but it's like, yeah, it doesn't sell the album the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit matters. It isn't metal, you know? We used to buy albums based on the artwork.
That's very
true.
And
I still am attracted to, like, you know, you look at, like, the promos you get, and you, like, you're looking at artwork, and you go, oh, that looks interesting. And
I listen to a lot of bands that I probably never would have discovered just based on artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. That's what you used to do back in the day. You go to a record store and say, hey, I want to check this out just because of the album cover.
Mm-hmm. I became a Therion fan that way, just kind of like looking at the, going like, oh, that looks different. You know, like, I'll try that. And actually, Papa Josh, like, let me put it on, like, back when you can listen to CDs. And
you mean Papa Josh, the Cryptos, former co-host of the show?
Yes. Yeah. And he and I was like listening to it and going like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to buy everything they have at that store. And it was like 3 Therion albums. And I just like went hardcore into that band just based on that. Just like looking at the artwork going like, wow, that's like very non-typical metal artwork. It was for Voven, I think. And yeah.
You're still really into that band.
Yeah. Shit like that matters, you know.
That's right. It does. You know what else matters?
What?
The new Tier album. Let's get into it.
Yes.
So this is, how do you say it? Garmer?
Sure.
Garmer.
From the album called Hell.
Stay in this.
Welcome back to MSRcast 218 from the Elysian Fields. Song named Clavis Magna Doctrine, or is that the album name? That's the song name.
Yeah, that's the song name.
Album name New World Misanthropia. Loud fellas, aren't they?
I like them.
That song just fucking just starts. It's like, here you go, into it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very aggressive from the beginning, but it reminds me a lot of Septic Flesh.
Yeah, for sure.
When I first heard them, maybe a little bit more theatrical than they are, but I'm a fan.
There's a break, like a disharmonic, like orchestrated break in the middle of that song, and then just it sort of like gets under your skin. Mm-hmm. And just like I actually love it. It's great. It's like, where are they going with this? What are they doing? And then it just back into like
fucking, the hard,
yeah,
the hard parts.
Pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, I found these guys online a couple weeks ago. I've been listening to them in my rotation, you know, all week. But I really liked them. Like we talked about Septic Flesh before. Like when Titan came out, everybody lost their shit about Septic Flesh. I didn't even like Titan that much. I thought it was okay. Codex Omega though blew my mind.
Yeah,
I love
sure.
Codex Omega, and this, you know, this reminds me of like their better stuff on that. So. Definitely like them.
So these guys are Greek from Athens, Greece. They've been around since 1994. This is their first full-length album in 14 years.
Isn't Septic Flesh Greek also?
Maybe.
Anyway, yeah, or something like that. You know, it's like something about Greece like produces these bands with strange sounds, you know?
They are Greek, actually.
Yep, they are.
Like
they're from the same city too.
They love that kind of shit. Like we were talking about Rotting Christ on the last episode.
Yeah,
and like the weird stuff they're doing, and it's just like, yeah, this is like a weird kind of sound that's like very, I guess, growing to be unique to that area. First album in 14 years, which makes you wonder like what's going on with these bands where, you know, they it takes them that long to do something, or if it's just like they just actually go away completely. And then come back, you know.
Or maybe they're just perfectionists.
Working on an album for 14 years.
Well, like Orphanland, you know, they had an album in 1996. That was like their second album, third album, whatever. And then they went away. They didn't come back until 2004. Mm-hmm. And when I asked them, why did it take you guys? They're like, oh, you know, military service. Like in Israel, you have to
do two and a half years
of military service. And like those guys were different ages. So it staggered out that way of like, oh, now he's doing it. Now he's doing it. Now he's doing it. And then that's what kind of real life delays, that kind of thing. And, you know. So I wonder with bands like these, what's the story? Like, why did it take you 14 years, you know?
I'm sure they had a lot of different iterations of the band in that time, and I'm sure they've tried different things. But, I mean, if you listen to this album, it's very polished.
Yeah.
There's a lot of orchestral stuff in here that's very well done, and I'm sure that all the different instruments they used throughout the album took time to, like, process correctly and to find people that could, you know, do it. Maybe it's just a matter of cost.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, it's a pretty grand-scale album for being a band – that you never heard of before. This is their first release. So, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Lyrical themes include Greek mythology, misanthropy, and occultism. Everything you want.
Yeah, of course.
What?
George should love it.
That's right. Our Metal Geeks podcast co-host is Greek, and I've played him some Greek bands before, and he's not really into it that much.
Hmm.
Like, dude, your people.
His mom would love it. That's what it is.
Yeah. I hear the song, the band name, and all I can do is hear, think of the Megadeth track. It's like pops in my head, like immediately. Feels, I'm like, oh, yeah.
But these guys sound nothing like Megadeth.
Much better than Megadeth.
It's kind of a weak Megadeth song. And now that I'm thinking about that song,
it's catchy. It still sticks in your brain.
Yeah. That was kind of a weird Megadeth album. And just all together.
The Euthanasia, right?
Euthanasia, yeah.
I like that album, though.
Oh, I like it because it was, you know, like, I was so into them when that album came out, but like hearing Dave Mustaine talk about how that album should have been like a couple, like it should have been like a lot faster than it was, that the producer made him slow it down. It always makes me wonder, like, why don't you guys go back and like
re-record it,
find the masters and like remix it to the way you wanted it to be.
That was 1994 when that album came out.
Yeah.
It's a great album. I still listen to it a lot.
Yeah.
Were you mentioning something about the Megadeth cruise earlier?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, just that there is a Megadeth cruise, and I don't know. It's not doesn't seem like the most appealing thing to me. Speaking as a Megadeth fan, I just don't know if that'd be the kind of like I like. Okay, the reason why I say that when the in the late 90s, it was kind of a vague place for like metal fans to congregate. There was like just like big band websites, like a Metallica fan site that had a big message board.
Right.
But one of the biggest places to congregate was the Megadeth.com forums, and I used to be on there like a lot. And you know, I made some interesting online friends back then, but like most of those people were just kind of like
off.
There's a lot of wild ones in the Megadeth fan community, and I don't know if you could pack them on a boat, how that would look.
So I'm looking at the bands that are playing this cruise, and it's the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Megadeth, Anthrax, Testament, Dragon Force, Overkill, Corrosion of Conformity, Devil Driver, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, Doro, Armored Saint. That's cool. Armored Saint and Anthrax on the same cruise.
Yeah, and Doro.
And Doro. But I'm talking about vocal-wise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe they'll do something together.
Yeah, that would be cool.
John 5, Metal Church.
It's interesting Doro and Dave being on the same cruise.
Why?
Because they used to date back in the late 80s, like before Dave got married.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what Dave's wife thinks about that. Gossip.
Talking to your ex-girlfriend? What are you doing?
The heavy metal tabloids will be heavy a flutter.
You mean Blabbermouth?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I've always wanted, I want to go on a heavy metal cruise. We've been watching some YouTube videos of 70K this past year. Like a couple different ones we've watched recently, and I'm like, it looks like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like cruises and I like metal, but the only weird part is like, oh, this band is playing 3 a.m. You're like, fuck.
Well, it's not just that. It's also that, you know, not all metalheads are like us.
No.
You know, we can sit down and have an intelligent discussion about metal. Some metalheads are just drunkards who are like, metal!
Right.
And I feel like if you go on those cruises, it's predominantly going to be that type of – my fear, rather, yes, is that it's predominantly going to be gonna that
find,
kind of person.
But you find that on a cruise no matter what.
Yeah, but
– I tell you that much.
I like to sleep a little bit, and I can't imagine trying to sleep with drunken idiots running up and down the hallway, you know, lighting their pants on fire. For laughs.
I don't think it's that bad.
I would bet on the 70,000 tons that it's actually more the opposite, that you'll have more reasonable metal fans because everyone's saved up for this. It's like a big deal. It's
yeah.
Like you take it seriously. And there'll be a couple of drunk idiots in that.
And there's a lot of autograph sessions, which I didn't realize. Like yeah. there was a shot of they had these tables set up in one of these main congregation areas on the ship. And there was this long table to set up when all the different bands are just hanging out, doing autographs and talking to people. That's fucking cool.
That does sound cool.
I mean,
the concept is very interesting and, you know, it's something I would love to do because I love, you know, metal.
It'd be so much fun.
Cruises are fun, but I mean, I got that fear in the back of my head that just,
right. Yeah.
And it's not like when you go to a metal show and the band is sort of separate from you. The only time you see them is when they're on stage.
Right.
You're stuck on a cruise ship with these guys. You're going to see them walking around.
You're going to see them in the cafeterias and stuff. Yeah.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
I think my game plan is to let Carrie go and then
– Test it out.
Test it out.
Test out the waters, as they say.
And then maybe one day.
What'd you think of it, Carrie? Yeah, I liked it. Carrie likes it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like cruises and I from watching these videos, it looks like a lot of fun. But the cool part is when they build the big fucking stage outside on – they close up the pool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they cover it up, and they have the big stage outside, and you're fucking just nothing surrounding you but water. You're just in the middle of the ocean. There's like a fucking
amazing heavy metal band experience. Playing. Yeah, just to like watch a band look over to your right and see the ocean.
And I know some of our fans. I know our friend, our Derek in particular, goes on like one almost every year, and he's always talking it up to me. He's like, "Dude, you got to go. One day I'm going to go. I really want to go, but it's." Always in like a time of the year where it's not good for me work wise,
right.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll move it around for me.
Maybe you could try.
I can ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Can you move that to September for me? I'd be great.
No, but you really don't understand. I host a metal podcast.
Right. I'll come on for free and interview the band.
You can make me one of the guests.
Right. Exactly. Now we're thinking alike.
Yeah.
All right. So, we talked about Tear a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the next band. I wanted to do some old school here because I'm about to see these guys on Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
The Death is Just the Beginning tour is coming out. Animus, however you say that band, Flesh God Apocalypse, and Hypocrisy. I'm trying to remember the last time Hypocrisy even played the States. It's been 10, 15
been a while,
years.
Yeah.
Been, I can't even remember.
They used to freaking come, I swear, every year.
Yeah.
They used to be here. And I've seen Hypocrisy live like more than half a dozen times.
Yeah.
Just like unintentionally, like, oh, Hypocrisy again. Okay. That's fine.
And they haven't put an album out in a long time.
I've seen them headline twice. I've seen them open four times, I think.
Yeah. Who were they with? Do you remember?
Shit. I don't
know. Another place, not Scout Bar, but.
One time they were with Soilwork. One time they were with Iced Earth and Children of Bodom. One time they were with freaking Lacuna Coil or something. Now you're going into uncharted like memory territory.
Right.
I can't remember.
It all sort of blurs together at some point.
I mean, one time I think it was just them. Like somewhere. Anyway, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing them. I wanted to pick something old, and everybody knows this track.
Yeah.
It's an iconic song from Hypocrisy. It's Roswell 47 from the album Abducted. Everybody knows this shit.
Yeah.
But I wanted to play it. Are you not going to go to the show?
No. Too many shows in April. I got 3 shows in April to go to.
We're missing a show tonight, actually.
Yeah.
We're missing Queensryche and Fate Warning to bring you the metal on the podcast tonight.
Yeah.
Better appreciate it.
You better. I was offered free tickets and I turned them down.
I knew that that show was happening. I'll talk about it when we talk about Queensryche.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
Are you a Hypocrisy fan, Justin?
I honestly am not that familiar with them. I know they've been around for a long time. I'm pretty sure I've listened to their older albums. At some point or another, it didn't click with me, I guess, the first time I heard it. So, I don't know. What you were playing before the show sounded pretty good. So,
Peter Taktrin is a great songwriter. Very catchy, melodic death metal, you know?
I mean, it sounds right up my alley, so.
Yeah, I think it actually would be. You should come to the show. It'd be fun.
Abducted is the record.
To get started with, yeah.
The best record.
Virus is pretty good. That's a good record to get started in.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a little bit of their older style mixed with a little bit of their new style. It's everything together. I think that's a good one.
What was the album with the alien on the cover?
All of them.
I mean, the really awful art. I can't remember that one. That was a good album, actually. Just the awful cover art.
The Catch 20.
Yeah, I think
Catch
so.
That's something.
Familiar, yeah.
I'm trying to look them up. What?
Just terrible artwork. Just abysmal.
Some of it was, yeah. Catch 22, that actually was album. So, no, that wasn't the Alien. The album was not produced very well, so they actually went back and re-released it later.
Oh, okay.
They totally redid it. Maybe, is it The Arrival you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, was The Aliens on it?
Yeah.
That's a good album, though.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's like a South Park episode.
It's like a poster you'd find at freaking
it looks like a poster.
Spencer's.
It's the Blacklight poster for like a Spy Kids movie or something with Spy Kids aliens.
Yeah.
Right. All right, let's get into Hypocrisy, and then we have in this next set, we have something completely different.
Yeah.
And you will find out. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, my friends. We just got finished listening to something from the brand new Dream Theater. The album is called Distance Over Time. The track that you picked, Sean, was called Fall Into the Light. Yeah. I like this album. I'll be honest, I haven't finished listening to it from start to finish, but like the first half of it, which I've gotten through a few times, I don't know why I haven't finished it. There could be something there. I like it a lot. I've always been a Dream Theater fan, not a fanboy, but just a fan.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like this album a lot too. I will say that the first half of it is infinitely better than the second half. It does slope off a bit. And if your interest is waning for those last few tracks,
oh, yeah.
It's not your fault. It's the fact that they're not, it's not as good as
okay,
the first four.
I feel better now.
But the stuff that's really good on this album is encouraging because, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever that was, when The Astonishing came out, we were making fun of that album, deservedly.
That was
so
bad.
That was an atrocity.
It was just an overblown concept album that they just tried too hard.
It was like a concept album in the sense that they were trying to tell this epic sci-fi story of this dystopian future where the music was banned or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, music was banned in the yeah. future. But the problem with it is the story was more important than actual the music.
Yeah,
that,
they had,
yeah,
to, they had to get the plot across through the lyrics, which always fucks up the songs.
Yeah, of course.
So, I remember trying to listen to that album, and it was two discs. It was like 2 hours long. I couldn't make it through all the way.
I've never made it all the way through a Dream Theater album.
Justin's never made it through a Dream Theater song until tonight.
No, I've heard plenty of songs. I mean, they're just not a band that I like that much. I mean, the instrumental stuff is great. Especially in this song, I really enjoyed that middle portion where it was just the instruments.
Yeah.
The singer, though, I just don't dig his voice. For whatever reason, it doesn't click with me. And like we were talking about, maybe it's just because it's too
one-dimensional.
Yeah. Whatever reason, I've never been able to get into Dream Theater the way other people do.
Yeah.
And I can see people's complaints about his voice. What did you say? You said one-dimensional?
Yeah.
I can see that, but
like I think that if his clean vocals were like paired with some screams or, you know, harder songs, it would work well. But
I don't know, just his band.
Just that as clean vocals, it doesn't work for
me. Do me a favor, go listen to Arion, The Human Equation, where he was like one of the characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they mix his voice with a bunch of different style of voices. It works really well on that album. I can see where you might not like it just with just his voice only, like a Dream Theater album.
Well, maybe because in that instance, he's only required to have one dimension, you know?
Well, yeah.
Just like you just hit this and we'll have some.
I mean, there's stuff when they mix him with like Michael Akerfeld or Devin Townsend and stuff. And
right, yeah.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing with his voice is it's just, he has that one approach where it sounds like it like that's the only tone he has. He can't. There's no light or shade right there, and I've noticed this too. Like even on their more poppy albums, like Octavarium and stuff.
Yeah.
Compared to their heavier stuff, like Train of Thought or this album, it's like yeah, you always sound that one way, and I'm used to singers having at least just a few different things they can do.
You need to have a range.
Right. Yeah. You know, you can hit different moods, or you can get heavy, and you know, I think of a versatile vocalist like Hansi Kirsch of Blind Guardian. You know, who has that rage voice, but he also has that kind of barred voice. Mm-hmm. And Tobias Sammet of Aventasia has like a variety of different kind of.
Sometimes.
You know, yeah, sometimes. Or, you know.
My personal favorite, Speed, Strid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that guy has amazing range.
He does. Yeah.
So the criticism, and I do think that when people think about Dream Theater, that's the first stumbling block they think of, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, have you listened to the James LaBrie solo albums?
God, which no. Are, no.
They're so far different than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. But the thing with this album that's encouraging is that seeing what they did last time and then seeing how they've readjusted in the right direction and just, you know, you go hard in that one direction, you better be going hard the other way the next time. Trim it down, keep it lean, agreed, muscular, a heavy album, good riffs.
Have you ever seen Dream Theater live?
Yes.
I have too.
Yeah.
They put on a fucking great show.
Well, I only saw them open for Maiden, so I think they were stripped. It was like just the band playing. There was no stage show.
Really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
I forgot it was like them and I forgot there was another opening band too.
It's been like 10 or plus years since I've seen them live, but
yeah.
It's when what's his name? Portnoy was still in the band, so
Yeah. Good live musicians, kind of boring on stage, I thought, honestly. So
yeah, they don't have a lot of stage presence, but you know, they let the music.
Right, yeah.
They're fucking Berkeley trained musicians, you know.
Yeah, you know, I kind of worried that when we went to go see Stephen Wilson, that it would be like, oh, I hope it's interesting. Yeah. Because I remember Porcupine Tree was really fun live, but they didn't move a lot, and so I just thought like, well, this will maybe be a more extreme version of that. But that was a crazy, interesting, really fun show.
That was still an amazing show.
That was a great show. Yeah. So
my favorite part is him still trying to make the drummer go off beat.
Yeah.
Like that was amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so before Dream Theater, we heard Roswell 47 from Hypocrisy, from the album Abducted. I'm looking forward to seeing them this weekend. Have a full report on the next episode. I think probably by the time next time we record, the Bruce Corbett benefit show will be happening.
Right.
Which is going to be March 30th at Rudyard here in Houston. If you think it's like $15 to get in. Mm-hmm. Bunch of bands. James Rivera is playing. Who else is playing? The Scourge. A bunch of different great local bands, and it's all for a great cause. All the money is going to Bruce Corbett's family. So, speaking of James Rivera, did you see his article he posted about the Doom Eternal soundtrack?
No.
Whoa. Okay. So
he posted an article.
Yeah. So I'm going to pull this article up. So talk amongst yourselves for a second.
By the time that the next recording goes, we might actually have seen the Children of Bodom show.
True.
Too. The Children of Bodom, Swallow the Sun, Wolfheart. And then some other band is on the bill too, I think. I don't know if they're a local band or what.
I'm very tempted to go to that
show. No, dude, you have to go to that show.
Oh, I thought you were going.
I hadn't committed. Well, it's really hard for me to commit to anything because my work and everything else. Like, it's hard for me to get to shows the way you guys get shows.
But it's on a Saturday evening, so that's good.
It is on a Saturday evening. I'm already going to miss the Rivers of Nile show because of George's engagement party.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah.
Thanks, George.
Which really sucks because I was excited about Rivers of Nile. But, you know, he's my bud, so I got to go support him.
Yeah, I'm leaving the symphony earlier to go to his party.
Yeah. But Children
Star
of Bodom.
Star Wars symphony, that is.
It's not just any symphony.
Not any symphony.
It's Deflate a Mouse.
Yeah. No, it's Star Wars.
That's cool.
Yeah, you got to go to that show, dude. Wolfheart are fucking amazing live. Actually, local guitar player is now their touring guitar player.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Huh.
I can't remember what band he's in. I'll have to look that up, but...
I was really into Children of Bodom in the early 2000s. Like,
what'd you call them?
Hate Children of Bodom.
Boredom?
That's what you call
them. That's what I call them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of accurate after 2004 to call them that.
I will admit their new album is not bad.
I think it's great.
I think it actually might be deserving of genuinely great status.
It's like, it's one of my favorite albums I've heard this year. And like I said, I've listened to like 80 plus albums so far.
Glass? Was it Glass Houses or it's either that one or Under Leaf and Clover?
Under Leaf and Clover is amazing.
It's a great song. It's like, oh, that's what I want you guys to do all this time.
There's like three or four of those on the album.
Why did it take you so long to figure this out?
Platitudes and Barren Words is fantastic.
Yeah.
Hexed is pretty good. Hecate's Nightmare is amazing. Glass Houses
is
great.
Yeah, I like that song a lot.
Under Glass and Clover is really good. The Road is really good.
The Hecate song reminds me of the Hate Crew Death Roll era.
It does. Bodom. It does.
Yeah.
I mean, they've come a long way since then, but I mean, at the same time, everything they made between Hate Crew Death Roll and this has been like one or two okay songs and like 10 pieces of crap.
What was weird is that I kind of just like thought, like when I heard that you know, the new album was coming out this year, I thought like, this is it. This is the one they have to just come back and come full force on. I had this weird feeling of like, I think this is going to be a good album. I never do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always just sort of like skeptical about shit. You know, like kind of like, I don't know, if I keep my hopes down, I won't be disappointed.
Well, they released that first track as a promo online, Platitudes and Barren Words.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy shit, this is amazing. Yeah. We need more of this.
Yeah. When I first heard that song, and I'm trying not to listen to preview songs that much now. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they kind of color my opinion of the album will be, but
So I found the article that James Rivera from Hellstar posted. Doom video game composer assembles a metal vocalist for Doom Eternal soundtrack.
Huh.
That's pretty cool. So I don't know all the bands, but members from Aborted, Frontier, Immortal Board, Tengger Cavalry, Black Crown Initiate, The Anchor, and James Rivera from Hellstar is going to be on it.
Immortal Bird?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, making a game like that even better by adding real heavy metal vocalists.
So this is going to be in like a soundtrack to the game?
Soundtrack in the game.
In the game.
Okay. In the game.
I think The Anchor is such an interesting band.
You know who they are?
Yeah. Do you know who they are?
No, I don't have no idea who they are.
You remember like 2 or 3 years ago, I showed you that video of the girl, the singer from that band, Lindsay Ray. She did that cooking show, heavy metal cooking, and she would like sing.
Oh, yeah.
Her band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I still follow her on all of her social media and stuff. I mean, it's she's fantastic. She's an amazing vocalist. The rest of the band is catching up to her.
Okay.
I've watched a lot of their like live show performances and stuff, and they're getting better. I mean, obviously now they're going to be on the Doom soundtrack. That's pretty badass. Yeah, that's her right there.
That's her. Yeah. Cool. That's very cool, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Were they recording this recently or something?
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago, like in Austin.
It's funny because I was Ray Armate of Mortal Bird was in. She was in Austin doing something. And I was like, "What are you doing?"
That's probably what she was doing.
Okay, I was trying to figure it out. Yeah, that's cool.
Very neat.
Formerly of Wood the V Prey.
So James is like the musical director.
No, he's just on it.
Oh, okay. All right, that's cool. Next, Queensryche, Blood of the Volvant, and
Blood of the what?
Blood of the Levant.
The Levant.
Yeah. Right. So this album.
I wonder if they're playing this song right now as we record it and play it.
Probably. I think they should play this song live. This is like one of the best songs they've done in ages. This album is the album these guys needed to make, because the thing is, most people already know that like they have a new singer, Todd Lettori. Jeff Tate's long gone.
Well, this is his third or fourth album.
This is their third album with him.
Third album.
The first album was kind of
I liked the first album.
It was okay, but it was really short and really felt incomplete. The second album just felt like it was like trying too hard sometimes. This one seems like they finally figured out how to sound like Queensryche, and it's like refreshingly good. Like the song, like some of the songs are like equal parts prog and metal, and they just found the right balance. And it's like the first time I've listened to a Queensryche album in like close to 20 years where I've been like, oh, okay. I remember this is what this band used to sound like, and I that's the reason why I got it.
I agree. It's a great album. So no Scott Rockenfield on this album, right?
Yeah, so Todd did the drums on
it. Todd Lettori.
He
drums on this.
He purposefully – no one knows whether Scott's in the band or out of the band. In fact, I read an interview with Todd Lettori the other day where he said that we don't know. He doesn't communicate with us. I'm not sure what that's about.
Oh.
He was on paternity leave, and then he just never really responded. But like as late as like a week ago, he posted like a link to the album, like, hey, go buy the album on his Facebook page. That must mean that he's like all for it, I guess. But so he's on the album, first time in Queensryche history, no Scott Rockenfield. So Todd, when he drummed on the album, he patterned his drums about like based on what he thought that Scott would do. So like, you know, the weird fills, the jazzy kind of progressive stuff. He kept that in there and tried to do like basically an homage to Scott Rockenfield, which I thought was really cool. And he does a great job in the album as far as just being like a really thoughtful percussionist. Vocals are really great. There's a song on here called
Reverie?
Dark Reverie, which I thought was like one of the best songs I've heard from this band in ages. And that was written by the new guy, Parker Lundgren. This song that we're going to play, Blood of the Levant, I think is like one of the best all-around just Queensryche songs in their catalog. It's got this great...
Yeah, it's the album kickoff, too.
Yeah, and it's got that great chorus, and it's got that really cool dual guitar solo right after the chorus that reminds me of like classic Chris DeGarmo, Michael Wilton trade-off type stuff. They needed to do this album because... You know, the enthusiasm of just going to see Queensryche live. I've seen them live twice in the past few years. Hearing them play new songs live and Todd sounding really great, that was kind of wearing off. And it's like, okay, but what else are you guys going to do? You know, it's cool to hear you sing Queen of the Reich, but you got to do something new that's interesting too.
Make those iconic tracks again.
Right, yeah. So I think they finally did it, too.
Were you ever a Queensrÿche fan, Justin?
Not really. It's another one of those that I've heard plenty of their stuff. And, like, they have a few songs that I like that I keep in my, like, big playlist of stuff. But the earlier stuff, like I never found a whole album that I was just like, oh, I love this album.
Operation Mindcrime.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
You know, I've listened to it.
You've tried it.
I've tried it.
Okay, here's my alternative thing, because people always go for Operation Mindcrime. That's a very one-toned album. Mm-hmm. It has to be because it's telling a story, I guess. Try Rage for Order.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a crazy, unconventional. At the time, 1986, that album was so boldly pushing different boundaries as far as like what was acceptable and sounds and stuff. And those songs still hold up today.
Okay.
They're inventive and they're really creepy, and it's like a weird kind of mix of metal and goth and cyber stuff. And it's just
some of it is.
It's cool.
I'm sure you've heard Walk in the Shadows. That's like one of their most.
Yeah. Walk in the Shadows is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for new good stuff to listen to.
It's so weird when you think about their earlier albums, and they really only had the Warning and
Rage for Order
before Operation Mindcrime, and then a couple of years later,
Empire.
It was Empire, which they just blew up from on the radio and all that.
No, Empire is like the pop album, like, you know.
It is. It's still good stuff on it, though.
No, great stuff on there, you know, like, but it's a hooky commercial hard rock record.
Yeah, it totally is.
You know, the Queensrÿche EP in 83.
Yeah.
You go back and listen to it. I was listening to it the other day, and I was like, okay, you know, it's like a mix between like Iron Maiden and early Sabotage.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
It's good, but they're really simplistic songs, and you're kind of like, all right.
I mean, come on.
It doesn't have a lot of depth.
Queen of the Reich and Lady Wore Black are freaking iconic.
The Lady Wore Black is the best song on that EP because it has depth to it. The Queen of the Reich is just fun because he's screaming. His more interesting of that era of Queensrÿche is when you go and watch, they have a live video they did in Tokyo. And
of
that,
which version of Queensrÿche?
Well, it's 1984 they recorded it in Tokyo. So, and it's Jeff Tate in his like ultimate prime, and like hearing that guy sing that way live, that is like a dazzling live performance.
Can't do it anymore, unfortunately.
I mean, at one point that guy was maybe the greatest metal singer in the world. Like, just fucking in the world.
Yeah.
I don't care about like Bruce Dickinson's step aside. Go watch the fucking Tokyo performance.
I've seen it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's amazing. And he had that just for that little window, and then it went away. You know,
it's like Worl Dane back in the day.
He started smoking in the mid 80s, and that was kind of the reason why his voice went lower and lower and lower, I think, over time. You know, he never stopped either.
I'm going to see Jeff Tate live a few months from now with Avantasia.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to sound
good. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Because he's really only on stage for like a couple songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a full him trying to do Queensrÿche songs. I don't want to see him trying to do Queen of the Reich now.
Yeah. Even if I got free tickets to go see like his Operation Mindcrime band, I would have to pass. I couldn't go to do it.
All right. So let's get into Queensrÿche, who are actually probably playing this song right now across town.
Yeah.
This is Blood of the Levant from The Verdict. We'll be back.
Deeper in the sand.
Welcome back to MSRcast 218 from the Nether.
We made it back from the Nether.
With our friends from Spectral Manifest and former co-host of this show.
That's right, Papa the Josh original. Kryptos,
yeah.
The original co-host of MSRcast going on, shit, like 14, 15 years ago?
This is a Houston death metal institution, I would say, by this point.
Yeah.
If you're in the local metal scene, you have seen this band at some point.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, it's a good Josh is Kryptos.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's a great drummer. He really is. He's probably I saw him a long time ago, my Gibraltar kit.
Okay.
So we can put, you know, that goes around when I was like really into drums for a while. About all the shit, and I was going when I was in a band for a little bit. But once I sort of dropped out of that, it's like I didn't really need all the equipment.
Right.
I sold him that, and I think he still uses it sometimes.
Yeah.
Were you ever in a band, Sean?
Vaguely. I was in a make believe semi punk fantasy band called Punctuator.
Nice.
It was a 2-man band with me and Matt Roy. We were terrible.
And you were in a band.
I was. I've been in a couple of bands, but
drums exclusively.
Yeah, only drums. That's the only thing I can do.
Yeah,
I'm not a real musician then.
I did vocals in one band, Texas Death Machine.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know Austrian Death Machine.
Yeah. Well, we weren't that. we did more like theatrical preparation than we actually did songwriting. We wrote like 8 songs and we're going to wheel this electric chair out on stage and make all the sounds. And yeah, it was a whole thing.
Did you ever play live or anything like that?
We did 2 shows. We didn't use the props we made at either one. One of them was pretty good. The other one was not anything.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to start an MSRcast band now. Can you play anything, Sean?
I know Dave's a good guitarist.
Dave's a fucking badass guitar player.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right. He's talked about his time.
He can just manage us in.
Yeah.
I know George did vocals in his punk band. Like, we've got the makings of a band if we wanted to put one together.
We do.
George can do the, like, high-pitched, whiny vocals, and I'll do all the screams.
High-pitched, whiny vocals.
You like James LaBrie?
Yes.
The last time I saw Spectral Manifest was in a tiny record store here in Houston. That's
Sound Exchange, right?
Sound Exchange.
Yeah, I was at that show.
Yeah, which is basically a converted house.
Not anymore. They've moved.
Yeah, they moved, unfortunately. Kind of.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
I mean, I just have nostalgia.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have a nostalgia. I've been going to Sound Exchange since they were on Westheimer.
Have you been to the new one?
Yeah, I have.
They're already open and everything. And
yes, I'm probably going to go by there tomorrow because they got copies of the Necrofire cassette tape in, and it's like $5, and it comes with a digital download of it. So
it's cool.
If they have any left, I'm going to go buy one.
Yeah,
it's truthfully 7 minutes away from my job.
It's cool to have like a little record store that would do like local shows, metal shows, and you just pile into between the aisles.
Yeah, well, Necrofire played there not too long ago.
Oh wow!
And they had to like. Not everybody can get in.
Right, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Local metal heroes, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sound Exchange is cool. But going back to Spectrum Manifest, they have a new EP called The Nether. You can find it on Bandcamp. Just search for a Spectrum Manifest, and there they are. Former co-host of this show.
Yep.
Now doing drums. And before that, was actually one of Papa Josh's favorite bands, the Queensryche.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the Queensryche song, Justin?
It was good. It was better than I remember them being. So I'll definitely give this album a listen, and I'll check out the one Sean recommended as well.
The new album's good. It feels a little short, though. It's a very quick listen, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would my criticism of that first when he first joined the band, that self-titled album, was painfully short. It was like 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, these songs don't feel complete. Whereas this one, there's, like, the last song in the album is, like, this 8-minute-long, moody kind of thing that reminds me of, like, the Promised Land era Queensryche. I'm like, they're hitting all the eras of this band, you know? I like to see
good
them
and bad.
More adventurous stuff on the next one, too, you know? So, and not take, like, 4 or 5 years, whatever it took to get this one out.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's better than 14, right?
No, that's true. Yeah.
That's very true. So, what's with Blacken in the end?
So Blacken, this next band, is
it Blacken?
I'm not really sure.
It's probably Blacken.
Blacken. Could be.
Blacken. So Blacken.
They're another one of the mini bands that I've discovered in the last few weeks. They've released, I think this is their first album, 7 tracks. Very fast, hard hitting, but it does some really interesting things. They're definitely one of the more interesting bands that I've heard. I really enjoyed this album. It's called Ascendancy of Evil.
They do have a little umlaut, the two dots under the above the A. So it is blocking.
Okay. Well, the album is actually called The Ascendancy of Evil as well.
They're from Poland. They're Polish.
That's probably why I like them so
they're
much.
They're my people.
But you guys should definitely check out the whole album. I think it's a good piece together, all seven songs. The first track is kind of a weird,
it's an EP, right? So yeah. It's not really a full length yet.
It might not be a full length album now, but it'll at least give you a taste of what they sound like.
So you picked out the song is called The Ascendancy of Evil?
Yeah, the title track.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, let's check out Blockin, and we'll be back in a minute.
Let my way. Let my devotion. You are my thoughts.
And welcome back to the show. We just listened to a band called Animus. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Animus.
Animus. This is a Nuclear Blast release, I believe. This is the album called Dreamcatcher. Very progressive, technical, you know, metalcore-ish in, at times, but I'm not a really metalcore guy, so I can't right. really say that for sure. But it reminds me of, you know, Obscura and that type of stuff.
That's some progressive type, you know, unexpected stuff in there.
Yep.
I didn't quite like it as much as Obscura.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
But this is a band that's opening up on the Death is Just the Beginning tour with Hypocrisy and Flesh God Apocalypse. So
it's a pretty solid song.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, the album's pretty damn good, actually. Not spectacularly great, but it's good. It's decent enough to get by.
Which is all you can ask for all on you like can a ask for. Debut album, I guess.
It's actually, this is like their second album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the name of that tour based on the compilation
yes.
album? Okay. I had a lot of those compilations.
I did too. Yeah, that's where I heard a lot of the back in the day, a lot of the bands that I've never heard before. I was like,
yeah.
Over and over and over, it's like listening yeah. to those albums.
You would hear like stuff on those compilations where the bands didn't even have their stuff released. Like it was, kind of like the old tribute albums, like the Judas Priest tribute album Century mm-hmm. Media put out in the 90s and the ABBA tribute, the metal tribute to ABBA and shit like that.
So, yeah, they do these back in the day where it was like, was it Nuclear Blast that did these?
Yeah, Nuclear Blast, yeah.
It's a bunch of bands like Hypocrisy and bands you never heard of, yeah. like Nocturnus was on one, I believe.
They put out CDs and DVD versions too, where they have like music video compilations and stuff.
I think actually on one of those albums is when I very first heard Mastodon.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me either.
I remember just a variety of them. Like I would hear like Stratovarius and then some goth metal band like Charon and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean, like just like all these weird bands and you'd be like, wow. Shit from Europe's like really, really interesting. You know?
They just had a new one that came out sometime last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Volume. It's Death is Just the Beginning 2018 compilation. Yeah. I guess that's why. Oh. I guess there was some new stuff on here. I need to check this out now.
Yeah. I need to go and listen to it. Hypocrisy's on it.
Hypocrisy is on it. Memoriam, Insidious Disease, Possessed, Immolation, doing a Sepultura cover.
Cool.
Decapitated, doing a Meshuggah cover.
Cool.
Paradise Lost, Japanese only B side. Brujeria, Viva Presidente Trump.
Yeah.
Previously only available digitally and on vinyl. So I'm going to have to check. I didn't even know they really did a new compilation.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I listened to. I discovered a lot of bands back in the day, and that and the what was the Earache one? The Grind. Earache did a Grind compilation album. Earache Records.
Oh, Earache. Okay.
That had like I know it had Napalm Death on it and stuff like that. I can remember it has a blue cover and somebody's yelling at their fucking iPod right now. You know what? Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it is.
Someone email us.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. The my favorite compilations were also, like, besides the Death is Just the Beginning, were, like, the ones that came in the – was it Terrorizer that had the CD on him? Or
Grind Crusher. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, I remember Grind Crusher. Yeah.
1989 that came out. Me and Dave on the last episode of Metal Geek, we talked about how we got into a lot of metal.
Yeah.
And that album for me and my cousin Chris – with how we discovered a lot of fucking bands. Like, that's how we discovered Morbid Angel and Napalm Death and Tomb. Nocturnus was on there. That's the album I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Great fucking compilation.
Yeah. In an era of, like, streaming, those compilation albums are, like, I don't know. I don't even think of them anymore.
It's kind of an obsolete way to discover new music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is cool they're still making them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now, I mean, all you have to do is just make a playlist on Spotify and that's your
not
new compilation.
Even. I mean, there's other people doing it for you. All you have to do is listen to random metal playlist and
yeah.
you'll hear new shit.
That's true.
The new metal playlist on Spotify is a nice tool, but man, there's a lot of trash on there.
Yes.
I wish there was a better playlist. If someone else is compiling a playlist that's like more
Some of the record refined. Labels create their own too.
I need to start looking for that stuff because there's some clunkers on that one or just some
the release radar that
metal stuff.
Yeah, the release radar that gets created for you every Friday.
Yeah, mine's all screwed up now.
Mine is too.
I've been listening to a lot of like electronic music and stuff lately. Well, so,
but the weird thing about that one, and Spotify, their algorithm is pretty great, but sometimes it's like, hey, the band Wolf has a new song out. No, this is not Wolf. This is like some rap band called Wolf.
Or, right.
You know, it's not the same, guys. Come on. But, hey, I discover a lot of new music through Spotify, truthfully, so
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Blocking?
Let's talk about Blocking.
I like this.
Yeah. That surprised the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Just from the name and then the cover.
The imagery.
I thought it was going to be like some super raw black metal.
Also, because you know that's what I like.
Well, yeah, that too. It was very different. It was very influenced guitars and some of the drums and the beat. It's very New York City hardcore.
Yeah.
I could definitely hear that. Not the vocals, for sure. It's, you know, Blackened screams, but yeah.
Polish Blackened screams.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah,
then the second song we heard is like started off with like Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Every song.
Like chugging. I was like, that's going to break into a Judas Priest song right here.
Every song is very different on the album. Like I said, it's a very short, you know, but every song is a pretty good example of their capabilities. So
that's cool.
Definitely like those guys.
Yeah.
Check it out. Blackened.
I want more. More Blocking.
So do you have any topics you wanted to talk about?
I really got nothing. I haven't paid attention to a lot of metal news. I have some hope from Bruce Dickinson saying that Maiden's not going to retire. That's the only thing that really caught my eye.
They're going to drop dead on stage one day.
They're just going to keep going until the bitter end.
And they're just going to – yeah, they're all going to become Eddie and just bring him out on stage.
Yeah.
They don't need to end. Why? They enjoy doing it. Why end it?
Yeah, no. I mean,
they like being around each other and they like playing the metal. Do it.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to. Here's what I really want them to do is just to maybe, and people are not going to like me saying this, but to shift away from touring and just start doing more records, if you know, like towards the end. Just like, I want the music is what matters to me more. You know, it's like, give me more of your artistic legacy, you know? And don't spend 5 years making an album that is like, you know, like
wasting our energy on stage instead of writing.
I disagree. I think Iron Maiden are one of the best live bands ever. Everybody deserves to see them every time they come.
No, sure, but I just think that I think that them doing more live stuff will extinguish them faster as far as like their willingness to do this continually. Whereas like if they just say, hey, let's just take a year of break and just work on a new record.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense, but I mean, I don't want them to stop touring.
Not touring it for 3 years, you know, like tour on it for like a year or like a half a year or something, you know?
They wouldn't be able to hit the places they wanted to hit, though.
Maybe.
They have to do the full 2 to 3 year touring cycles.
Hey, if you come to Houston and you miss Santiago, Chile, I'm fine with that. You know, it's like...
But the people in Santiago, Chile, you're not.
Yeah, they're not listening to the show anymore.
You don't know that. There could be one guy.
He's like, hey!
He's shaking his fist at you right now. I want to hear Iron Maiden live.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. You know, I want more Maiden albums.
Well, yeah, everybody does.
More than that, I want a Bruce Dickinson solo album.
Fuck yes.
You know, after hearing If Eternity Should Fail, which was supposed to be on the hypothetical Bruce album.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that was the best song on Book of Souls. Give me more of that,
yes.
Please, you know.
He needs to do another solo album.
Yes. I know they've been working on it. I have firsthand verification they've been working on it.
Who? Dr.
Metal talked to Roy Z like a couple years ago. And Roy had Bruce in his LA studio working on songs for the solo album. Presumably
before Cancer?
Well before Book of Souls was released. So, yeah. It's like they have been working on stuff. It's just Maiden keeps getting in the way. Too many tours. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's a Metallica thing, you know? It's like you tour so many years and then all of a sudden it's 5 years since your last album, 8 years since your last album. It's like,
thankfully,
It's like, you know. Yeah, but that last Metallica album was halfway decent.
It was pretty good for what it was.
Halfway, you know? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the first disc was good.
The second disc was really good. Second disc had one good song.
One good song, right. Yeah. That's severely overrated.
Yeah.
It's Lars.
As if we've never heard metal that heavy before. Oh, my God. Anyway.
So what are you looking forward to in the next few months? What's coming up on your radar?
The Children of Bodom show. I'm really happy to go see that band. Really pumped up about their new album. And then I'm going to go see Churches in the same month, like a synth pop band. So that's the non-metal thing. So
with a V.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And the Hell's Hero or not Hell. Yeah. Hell Heroes
too. Yeah. Yeah. Which is April. What day?
13th.
April. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's at the Wide Oak Music Hall. Pull up the list of bands, man.
That's I know it's going to be Exciter. I know that Cauldron's going to be playing. I know that Visigoth is playing. Those are the two bands I want to see the most.
Yes.
And Power Trip is headlining.
That's right.
It's going to be great.
I like Power Trip.
Yeah.
It should be a fun show. I mean, it's going to be both stages up and down.
Power Trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be away from you maniacs.
It's like the time I was it Tattoo the Earth or something?
Yeah.
And Hatebreed played. It was like outside and it was like on the second side stage. And it was like nothing but like sand in front of it. And the minute they came out, I got caught up in their big circle pit.
Ugh.
It was just nothing but fucking sand around you.
He mentions Tattoo the Earth quite a bit on his podcast.
Does he?
Like he wants to buy the brand back or something.
So Hell's Heroes 2 is taking place April 13th at the Wide Oak Music Hall. Razor, Power Trip, Exciter, Hellstar, Skullfist, Omen, Cauldron, Visigoth, Bat, Haunt. Then got Blade Killer, Hellfire, Oath of Cruelty, and Graven Right. Some of the bands I do not know, but...
How early am I going to have to come to the show to catch all the bands I want to see?
11 a.m. Yeah.
11 a.m.
Yeah. All right.
That's a good show, though.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun.
But it's probably going to be up, you know, both stages, so right. You have to decide different times who you want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can deal with that. I've seen Omen before.
Yeah.
We had them on a long time ago as part of Bang Your Head America. We did it here in Houston. You remember that?
Vaguely. I didn't go to that.
And I worked on it with James Rivera, and we had Solitude Eternus on it. We had Doug Pinnick doing his solo band. We had Omen on it. We had Hellstar. We had all these weird bands that didn't fit together. It was pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
What venue was that?
It was...
Was that Eyeball Room?
No, it wasn't Eyeball. It was the one downtown. It's closed down now.
Oh, okay.
The second story one, what's it called?
Meridian. Yeah.
Meridian.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
Yep.
That was an interesting day. A lot of cool bands, yeah. But a lot of variety. Only time I'd ever seen Solitude Eternus live and blown away.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
That's when Rob Lowe was one of my favorite vocalists, man.
Right, yeah.
Not the actor Rob Lowe.
Not
Robert Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe, really? Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
Well, the new Allegiant album for sure. You know, I'm a huge fan of theirs. Also, I'm hoping that the band Cloak comes to Houston. They started their North American tour. They're doing like the top half in April, and they said next week they're going to announce the southern half. So if they come to Houston or any of the surrounding areas, I'm definitely going to travel to see them. Cloak.
I don't know who they are.
They were in my top 10 list last year.
Okay.
Their album is fucking amazing. They're touring with Iwata too, so you know it's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
How far would we be willing to drive?
I'll drive to San Antonio or Austin for sure. Probably Dallas even.
Wow.
To see them.
Dallas is a commitment.
If you haven't heard the Cloak album, you absolutely need to listen to it. It's
okay. Cloak.
Fucking awesome. So that's pretty much it. I'm hoping they come to Houston.
I'm looking forward to seeing Hypocrisy again. I'm looking forward to the Wolfheart and To All the Sun show. I wish, unpopular opinion, but I wish the headliner wasn't playing so the other two bands could play longer. Because I know they're only going to play like 40, 45 minutes each.
Right.
Not enough time. When we saw Wolfheart was a few months ago. They played like 30 minutes.
Right.
You're just like, dude, I need more of this.
Well, so you're getting more of it.
10 minutes more. Not enough. Not long enough. And I'm looking forward to seeing Avantasia in a few months.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I wish I could go to the Rivers of Nile show. You know, I fucking love Where Owls Know My Name.
Yeah.
It was my number one album last year.
I know.
And they're playing it in its entirety in the live show.
What time do they go on?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can, like, go to the party and then skip out and go to the show.
You could.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. I'd love to see him.
Maybe George could even skip out and go to the show with you.
I don't think that'll
Here's
work.
Here's your present. Come on, let's go.
I've gone to a wedding and skipped out and gone to a metal show directly after.
It's not a wedding. It's the engagement party. The wedding's not for a few months.
I've gone to an actual friggin' wedding and skipped out to go to a metal show. Yeah.
I did not do that on my wedding day, but.
You considered it?
Considered it. I don't remember. So thanks to Justin for hanging out with us tonight. Before we get on to our last band of the night, let's go through and let's let everybody know where they can find us. Of course, let's start with Sean.
The Metal Pigeon on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and themetalpigeon.com.
Very, very smart. You got branding. I like that.
It's good to have branding.
It is.
My branding is at ComicalJC pretty much everywhere. If you like to check out my podcast, it's Mind Fudge Comedy. It's available at mindfudgecomedy.com or on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like to check out my comic book, it's available at graybearcomics.com. That's G-R-A-Y bearcomics.com. It's a horror comedy. So if you're into that kind of thing, you'll probably like it. That's pretty much it.
Nice elevator pitch. It's pretty good. Of course, you can find us, msrcast.com. You can find us on iTunes. When you're there, subscribe to us. Leave us a review. Let all your friends know. You can, of course, find us on Spotify and Stitcher and all the places that you can find your podcast. You can also find our sister show at Metal Geeks on all the social medias as well. That's it. Let's talk about the last band.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed we're saving this one for last because hopefully the audience is still there.
They're there.
This band is called Thormesis. They're a German band.
That's what happens when what's the guy's name who's Thor and he turns into Thor? Is it Thormesis?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's like a merging of the word Nemesis and Thor.
Right.
Thormesis. But anyways, this song we're going to play is called Sauna, and it's the first song off the album. This is another short album. I think it's 8 songs. It's fantastic though. This is pagan black metal.
Yeah.
From Germany. Most of the songs are in English. There's a couple that are in German, but it's the best thing I've heard this year so far. I've listened to a lot of albums. I'm always on the lookout for new stuff that like just gels with me. I discovered this last week, and I've probably already listened to the album 40 or 50 times. So
holy crap.
It's really good, and it seems to get better each time I listen to it. So
wow.
Can't say enough good things about these guys.
Very cool.
And this is their 6th album, actually.
The
album's called The Sixth. I didn't realize they even existed until a week ago, so I got to find the other albums.
Your past few recommendations have been nailing, right on them. Like, I was listening to Harakiri today, I was telling you. It's like, everything you're recommending, I'm going to go and listen to myself.
Cool.
Just like,
you'll love Cloak. I have no doubt you'll come back and
I just added into my
Yeah, you're going to love Cloak. You'll love these guys, too.
Cool.
Well, thanks for tuning in again to episode number 218 of MSRcast. I have been Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean the Metal Pigeon
and
Comical JC.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in, and here is Thormesis. And as always,
keep it metal.
Keep it metal indeed.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.